We're in the endgame now.
Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CDJ, joined by JB Huskers. He is back. JB, how's it going?
Back in the house. It's been a busy month, and it's about to get busier in literally a few days.
I think we're at the point now you could almost say we're hours away. Yeah. I mean, we're 4 days away. I mean, you could almost say we're down to hours now. Tommy's out on assignment. He had to catch the morning train today, working the 9 to 5. He'll hopefully be back soon. Lots of news going on. Lots of small news, some big news. Let's go through some of the small stuff here first. First off, go to thegamingtailgate.com. We have something pretty cool we've put up. We have a printable celebrations guide. When we saw that gameplay first look, they gave us a look in the menu of seeing all the controls or celebrations. And Quizzy and I, last show, we kind of joked, we're not going to remember all these. And I make the joke and comment to him, we're going to just memorize a few. And then thinking about his comment, kind of realized, why don't we just make a guide for this thing? So that's what we went and did. We went ahead and made a printable guide. You can view it on the page, or you can just go and look at the PDF file of it. Print it out and share it with your friends.
Go to Staples, get it laminated.
That's actually not a bad idea, Jeremy. I did think that way about
you
could that.
Put it up to your face where you're calling plays. act like you're really a coach. And I've seen some good feedback already on Twitter about this thing too. So it's good to see people already noticing it, and it sounds like some people will probably use it. So
I say, judging by the traffic, it's getting used. So I said, print it out, share it with your friends. We had some feedback. They said, what about the Xbox controls? Okay, cool. We'll add the Xbox controls. One of the big questions is, what about the Heisman? We've seen the Heisman in the game. We don't know how you trigger that, if you can trigger that. So this document will be updated throughout the year. This is not the final version. And we're under the impression from some of the articles and interviews that there may be hidden celebrations. So if we ever figured out those controls, they'll go in this document. So it will update throughout the year. And make sure you check out the information central at the top of thegamingtailgate.com. All of the game news, features, articles, our podcast, every screenshot that's been out, the media previews, and I'm sure that's going to get really busy this weekend when the content creators can finally put out their stuff. So make sure you bookmark that and keep visiting that and share that with your friends and family as well. See, like we mentioned, it's getting real here. We are in the end game, hours away. A couple days ago, Gator Enforcer, he hit us up. He posted this, and then he slid into our DMs and let us know, hey, my local GameStop has a poster in the window. Followed up.
How much is that poster in the window?
I guarantee at some point that's going to be on eBay, and it's going to get somebody a pretty penny, and I don't blame them at all for it. They're going up in stores, and that kind of made me think a little bit here. First off, thanks to Gator Enforcer for sending that to us and sharing it. Where are the national ads? I don't watch a ton of live TV, so maybe I've missed it. But I'm thinking, you know, we are give or take a week away from release, whether you're talking about the early access or if you're talking about the standard release on Friday. You would think we'd be seeing national ads here very soon. And where are the product tie-ins? It always seems like in the past, every year, Madden and back in the day, NCAA football had where if you bought certain products, say Doritos chips, for example, you got codes for Ultimate Team. I have not seen that yet. So that's something to keep an eye out in stores. I'm sure if it was out there, somebody would have posted online, whether it be at the Gaming Tailgate, on social media, Reddit. I sure have not seen it. Doesn't mean it's not out there, but I'm shocked we have not seen that yet.
Yeah, with not a lot of sports going on now. I'm not really watching. You know, the two things I watch live are usually sports and pro wrestling, and I've been kind of busy, so a lot of that's been on the DVR, and really there's not much sports outside of baseball right now going on. So, I haven't really watched much live TV, and of course, I've been pretty busy this month as it is, and so, but yeah, you're right. If it would have been somewhere, somebody would have noticed it, because this was somewhere, and somebody noticed it. So, right. If someone was watching TV, they probably would have said, hey, look what I saw. And so, yeah, you're probably right that it's, maybe this weekend. I don't know. Maybe Monday, maybe Monday Night Raw, they roll some ads. Maybe they are not rolling out their campaign on television until the week of, considering there is, the game, the early edition, you'll get access to that Monday. Maybe they're kind of banking on more people getting the standard edition, and maybe that's where the masses are going to get, the idea to go buy it. And maybe they start their campaign on Monday next week.
And that's the only physical edition is that standard. So that does make sense, but you'd think they might do it a little early just to spur some people who might look into it to spend that extra $30 to get it early or spend the extra $80 to get the MVP bundle. But I understand that, but I'm just shocked there hasn't been more out there yet, but who's to say that when we sign off tonight, all of a sudden we might be seeing a million ads everywhere. So it could happen in a minute's notice, really. Another big story, we talked about this a few months ago. We thought Arch Manning was out. He was the one that worded leaked from the Texas camp that he was not going to be into EA Sports College Football 25. And all of a sudden yesterday, I believe an online ad basically with Eli and Arch, his nephew, he's going to be in the game. We're not going to play the ad here. Kind of funny. It was Eli coaching him. Arch says he's going to be in the game, and this was a good way to focus on football, which was kind of a play on the original reasoning why Arch supposedly was not going to be in the game, because he wanted to focus on football. He's getting – now, this is interesting. I've seen a lot of places they forget to mention the part of he is getting the $600 and a copy of the game. They focus more on the price tag of the rumored $50,000 to $60,000. That's not what he paid to be in it. That's what they paid basically for that online ad. And I do agree, Jeff H. Cross, he responded to us on Twitter and said, this could backfire on EA long-term in terms of high-profile players might sit out at first to see if they get this later on marketing deal. I understand Manning's a little different, a unique situation, a big-name player, especially with that Manning last name. But at the same time, he hasn't really played or done much yet. Yeah, he's still a backup player. But you got to think, if he got 50 to 60,000 to promote the game, I'm sure that, you know, the cover athletes, I'm sure probably were looking at six figures.
Yeah, and you wonder if some of the bigger names did get that anyways for any sort of promotion they're going to do. Obviously, your cover athletes and any other people on there, you got to wonder, you know, this was more the high profile thing. A lot of the other guys signed right away, but they may have had something behind the scenes too.
I'd say it is a good look for them too, that he, you know, came to his senses or reconsidered. I think it's a good look for all parties involved. And I'm glad Matt Brown, he also came out and said that he has been told by, I believe, EA sources, there are, with Arch in the game, there are no profile holdouts. It sounds like the two deep on every team will be in the game. It's kind of when you get into those reserves where it gets a little hazy. We haven't heard a percentage or number of that. And I still have seen players in the last 48 hours putting out tweets asking how to get in the game. Granted, they weren't star players, but still, there's still players who are trying to get in, which kind of cracked me up. I'm thinking, guys, you had plenty of time. I hope you get in, but you might have missed your window.
Yeah, some of that might have been on the school, too. The school might have had to put effort into trying to get these people to sign. Obviously, peer pressure, too. The teammates, you know. Right. You know, if the teammates also got to get people on board as well. So, you know, there's some people that may... they may just not be gamers, you know, or something, and just aren't aware.
And I'm not sure if they were transfer players or not. That could have been part of it, too. If they just transferred in or just arrived this summer, I can see. Or maybe they were freshmen coming in. I didn't dig into what year they were, so maybe that might have explained it as well. We want to get into some gameplay stuff first, and then we will dig into the ratings reveal and dig into the Ultimate Team reveal that occurred over the last 48 hours. Something that came out this evening, Scott O'Gallagher, the design director for EA Sports College Football 25, he's been doing some pretty cool stuff. Every once in a while, he'll share a little nugget, stuff that didn't get in the gameplay blog. He'll just randomly, you know, he sits around and thinks, I'm going to drop some news. He said one improvement to passing, this is the revamped passing, the new system that college football will have, is the pass lead increase toggle. This allows you to decide how much your pass will lead, depending on the magnitude of your left stick. You can toggle between four options: none, small, medium, and large. And let me then go to one of the gameplay designers, Will Sykes. He was also on the gameplay first look with Scott. He is a former combatant and competitive player, if that tells you his skill level. Like, he's a very good player. He says he's been having fun with the medium on this new setting. Great pass leads on the left stick. Just a few routes to watch out for leading too much. And I thought this was interesting. He said none is a good starting point if you're coming back to a long break. I would assume that small would be a better point, but at the same time, if the competitive Madden player says none is a good starting point for the people who haven't played in 10 years, I'm going to trust his judgment completely. But that's basically if you're, and we had a Pepe Schultz hit us up on the response when we tweeted this out, and he goes, I'm going to sound dumb here, but what's this mean? Basically, that's as you throw the ball, you can use the left stick and kind of lead it, you know, direct the ball ideally away from the defender and only in a spot where your receiver can make a play on the ball. That's what this is. And I believe this is basically the best way I can describe it, and it's probably not the way EA would describe it, but you basically imagine like a circle or disc or ring around your player. And that's basically how far you can lead the ball away. I'm assuming none means you can't do it at all. Small's a little bit, medium to large. Obviously that large is going to be tougher. I'm guessing you might have to click onto the receiver and make a play yourself to get it. That's just theorizing. But I said, I think I'm, if Will Sykes is going with medium, I think I'm probably gonna start with smaller medium as well, and then go from there.
Yeah, and it's something that Madden implemented about 2 years ago to a certain extent, but this looks like it almost looks like NCAA is going to expand upon that, which is going to be pretty good because when Madden added that in a couple of years ago with what the being able to locate your passes where you could go high, low, and then lead them or go backwards depending on how the zone's going or how the man's going. You know, those are a couple of that was a good thing that they did with Madden. So if they refine that for NCAA and you have even more control and it's it delivers better results, then it's going to be a nice leg up. And of course, this probably is in Madden too. But
Actually, I believe that the revamp passing is not in Madden.
okay.
I think I came out this week that that is not. Whereas college football will have the revamped, the classic, and is it called the freestyle? I'm probably there's three
Yeah.
different options in college football, but I know I'm just going to use revamped.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick with the system and learn it and go.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping on top of Madden because I'm too excited for NCAA at this point.
You
And
mean college football?
or yeah, you know, that's gonna be hard to break too.
We need a swear jar here.
Yeah,
So if we, especially after release, if we say it, maybe we did have a
that's
jar and we put a quarter in every time.
such a hard habit to break because you
It
see
is.
everybody's still saying it.
It's gonna be very tough. I thought EA's marketing campaign at some point might switch to the, as Brad Nestor said in one of those intro videos at the end, this is college football. Like start pushing that more. And maybe that
It's
will be the
just
ad
like,
campaign, but we haven't got there yet.
yeah, it's just like FIFA being dropped too. You know, it's going to be hard to
It's
get away with that with soccer. So,
or EA Golf always being Tiger.
yeah,
Even if
yeah.
he's not in the game, it's still Tiger. We were told that this week we would get a launch ratings reveal. So there was a lot of hype and discussion in the community. When you hear those words put like that, it implied, and I know it was not said directly, but I sure a lot of people, when you look online, they thought we were going to be able to search the ratings for every player in the game. So today, when that dropped, it was not the top 11,000 players, it was the top 100 players. So it's one of those that there was quite a bit of disappointment in the community, not necessarily in the rankings, which I guess is, or ratings, which is, I think is good for EA, but if people who are willing to see some of the top players on their favorite team, if you didn't have a top 100 player, you were a little disappointed. JB, what did you, I don't know if you, did you think we were going to get all of it? Based on the way they worded it, I thought so. I completely understand why they didn't. I have theories on why they didn't, but what did you think when we saw her launch ratings reveal and it only came out to be the top 100?
In a sense, I thought it'd be a pipe dream that we were going to get everything. I mean, it would be great if you maybe had the top guy on every team rather than the top 100. Maybe that would have been something that would appease people. I mean, you got so many thousands of players. I don't think you could have expected them to put everybody on a spreadsheet or, you know, I don't know how easy or difficult that would have been for EA to do. But you know, at least we got something. But yeah, maybe a top one or two per team might have been a little better of an option just to appease more people, I'd say.
I have some theories on why it didn't, and this is my conspiracy theories. And I love a good conspiracy theory. One is being that they didn't want people to scrutinize too deeply. They wanted to kind of give the top 100 their, moment in the sun. I think that's pretty realistic take. My more wild take is that maybe when you start getting that three, four, five deep, things could be a mess. And I don't mean that meanly, but it's insanely difficult. I got to think to find a way to rate, the third string center at Hawaii, the guy JB picked on about a year ago when we talked about ratings and, back then. So maybe they realized, let's just avoid the scrutiny and mess that might come with doing 11,000 players. Let's just do these top 100. And I did not see yet anybody with a real controversial inclusion here. I should also add that Will Sykes on that gameplay first look did mention it kind of in a passing during the show that the abilities are only assigned, I believe he said, handpicked to the top 100 players in the game. So you got to think these players listed here are going to be the only players at launch, at least, that have abilities. The one thing I'm probably disappointed most in is that we don't get to see abilities. You can click on the player and get their ratings, but there are no abilities listed here. That would have been nice to see.
You know, the top three, I mean, it's not really, I mean, yeah, I mean, even the first 25, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, it's not an exact order of what some people have ranked or what people have ranked for the draft, what people have ranked just in college football for the 2025 season. You know, guys like Pierce almost seem like to be a consensus number one overall pick. Some places have him a number two overall guy. Some places have him number one overall guy. Some places are predicting he will be the number one pick in the NFL draft as well next year. And you got him in at a 95, which is not bad. It's number four, tied for four with a lot of people. So, but obviously, you know, guys like Will Johnson, obviously, you know, are going to be up there as well with Michigan and how dominant he can be at the corner. So at least at the top, I think they did a pretty good job overall. I am very surprised they didn't make Travis Hunter the number one guy, though, to be honest, considering how overhyped they had Colorado as a team.
What's interesting is, like, and it goes back to the discussion we had on the team ratings reveal. The overall is still a formula that somebody or some buddies in the studio had to make at some point. You know, it's kind of it rates all the other ratings. So if they have high speed, that's probably a big factor to figure out your overall. Things like things like jumping probably doesn't make a big sway on that overall rating. So it's still something that there's a formula that picks it. I know awareness is always a big factor, and it's one of those that I was looking online and people still, what does awareness do? And that's where I know some, I don't want to say weird things, but when my questions or maybe criticisms came in when I was sorting by different categories, for example, Shedeur Sanders at 98 awareness. And like I said, a lot of people online still don't know what awareness does. I'm not sure. I fully understand. I thought at least for non-user controlled, that's where it's a factor. And I thought for quarterbacks, one of the aspects was it helps the higher the awareness, the more they recognize pressure in the pocket to either avoid sacks or go scramble or run. What's interesting is Shedeur was the most sacked quarterback in the country last year. Now, part of that was they had a bad offensive line. But also I've heard a lot of drafts experts and other just football media experts say part of that is he holds on to the ball too long. So I thought it was interesting that he has a 98 awareness. But I understand there's also the people who have discussed and thought that awareness is more of a, I don't want to say a multiplier, but helps your other ratings as well. That if that gets low awareness, you make a few mistakes, you spiral. So maybe that's inflated or high. So he's always, because he's a good quarterback and he never really gets into slumps. So maybe that's why that awareness is so high.
Yeah. And you see, you know, basically looking at the top like 10 guys in awareness, they're about the same three positions, linebacker, quarterback. Just one wide receiver in there, but quarterback and linebacker are kind of the two big ones, obviously. And they're, you know, the linebacker is the quarterback of the defense for the most part. So maybe it is recognizing plays where quarterback, it may have to do also with helping them be calm, you know, have that kind of calmness where if they're on the road, if they have awareness, maybe they are not affected as much.
Ollie Gordon with the 97 awareness. I'm not sure that shouldn't be a little lower based on his off the field, he's a tremendous player.
Yeah, I was going to talk about him because obviously he's one of the three guys they have at 96. And you kind of look at a couple of places. Pro Football Focus has him at 21st overall, and On Three has him at 11. So, you know, and the EA's got him basically as a top three guy because he's one of the three guys at 96. So I guess that might be the biggest one, at least of the top three, to scrutinize and kind of question why he's that high.
One thing I noticed when you sort by speed, which historically, if you look at NCAA football, speed was always one of the biggest things. When you recruit a player, get a fast guy. You go by speed, the two fastest player among the top 100, Oregon receivers. So good luck if you see them online. Hope you have a good secondary.
Oh, yeah.
When you go through this, one that stood out to me, and it's not bad at all, but Harold Perkins, the linebacker from LSU, is a tremendous player. 92 speed, 97 acceleration.
At closing.
So it's one of those, the knock last year on LSU's defense was that they put Perkins into coverage a bit too much. Now, granted, with ratings like this, he's probably good in coverage. But in real life, the knock on LSU last year was just send him to the quarterback. Just tell him, go to the ball. So I think if you're playing with LSU this year, do that with Perkins. Just send him after the ball. With that kind of speed, I think I'd blitz him every play, realistically. And I'm not really joking on that. When you have that kind of, like you said, that closing speed, just send the guy. Game Day Gaming did respond to us on Twitter. He went through, and I'm going to give him credit for this. He put by school. I know it's tough to see because he's on his phone here, but I'll just read the top few. Ohio State had eight guys in the top 100. Georgia and Alabama with six. Michigan and Oregon with five. LSU, Notre Dame, Iowa with four. So that kind of tells you where that balance is. Basically all SEC and Big Ten and Notre Dame in there as well. Yesterday, there was no video deep dive, but we did have the Ultimate Team deep dive blog. And it's funny, JB, yes, you hit me up and you said, where's the video for this? And I said, there is no video for this. They did not. And you were a bit surprised by that.
You know, it's their cash cow. So you kind of figured they'd put a little effort in and put a little YouTube video up for this. So I was a little surprised that all we got was a little blog.
And I'm going to give you another theory. I'm full of theories tonight. My theory is that EA is working
Full of
really
something.
hard. Well, that too. I think EA is working really hard with this game to avoid the claims of, you know, microtransaction hell, that people are concerned there'd be way too many microtransactions. That was something we've had, I don't want to say leaked, but some of the media months ago, where, you know, we're saying we're hearing that the game is not going to be riddled or full of microtransactions. So my theory is that maybe that's why they're kind of muffled right now with Ultimate Team stuff. Yeah, they have an official Twitter and they've been a little more active over the last week. And obviously this blog goes into promos and some cards. But I think they're being a little quiet on purpose just to avoid that near launch. But I got to think once the game is out and you can start spending your money to get cards and packs, that they'll probably be a little more vocal about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, but I mean, I don't think there was really a gigantic component for Ultimate Team when it first started coming into NCAA compared to what you see in Madden now. I mean, it's everywhere and there's so many things and so many packs and NCAA. I mean, Madden, it was a little more scaled down than Madden 10 years ago, I think. And I think maybe that's what they're looking to do here. Just give you an option. And give you the option to play with current players and mix in some legends. And maybe they are not trying to really push the modes or try to make this as expansive as Madden, which Madden obviously is a juggernaut when it comes to Ultimate Team, to where they maybe want you to just maybe sit back and enjoy and kind of mix and match and play with some legends as well as the current guys all at the same time. And maybe that's kind of their MO for the college side of things.
I think you're right with that. And I think part of it is they don't have to market it much because the people who are into the mode, they kind of know what they're getting and they know what's on the way. It's not going to catch anybody off guard. The blog,
they know there'll be whales. There will be whales for anything that has a transaction with it. So,
and I think it's part of it. Like you and I are not, I would not say we're anti-Ultimate Team. I'm not going to say that we're also not, you know, diehards either.
No.
I'm not expecting to spend much money on it, but at the end of the day, I will play it. And one of those reasons what I like about Ultimate Team, that Madden has done this in the past and what college football has, are these challenges. And I'll just read how they have it worded. Scenarios that require you to complete specific requirements on the field. They can vary in difficulty and sharpen your fundamentals or master a playbook. Some may require you to complete a touch pass, other to lead a comeback against a rival. So basically they're almost like moments. They're very, generally speaking, at least in Madden, a very quick, very short. If you don't have a lot of time, but you do want to play the game, going to do those challenges is a good way to do it. They don't require money. You go in and play and you get rewards. There's nothing more, nothing less to that. It's almost like I don't want to call them a mini game, but in a way, that's kind of what they are.
It's a good way to start to build your team just by a lot of those are going to be super quick to start out. And so it's a really good way to just level up, build your team. And obviously, you know, if you you get the Monday edition, the early edition, I think you're going to get some extra points too. So you can buy some packs without having to spend any extra money, even though you've already spent a little extra money on top to get to play it early. But for most of the crowd that's watching this, they're paying that to play it early, not to get the Madden or the Ultimate Team type of stuff. So that's going to kind of be the cherry on top. And if you want to dabble into that, at least you can buy a couple packs and go through the challenges and you'll already have probably a good set of people that you're going to recognize, especially if you're a diehard fan.
There's 100 challenges at launch they're talking about. And in case you missed it, challenges. And this is something that I saw a pretty significant Twitter account mentioned today. They said that the game will have a mode called In Case You Missed It, where you can go back and recreate some of the best moments. People saw that and they thought that was a separate game mode in terms of, you know, like on the main menu game mode. And one gentleman who I know follows us, I responded to it when he was talking about it. I said, so you know, that's an Ultimate Team. That's not a separate game mode. And because they mentioned it here, and I like the idea of it. They say it'll bring you up to speed on the last decade of football. And they talk about the 2013 miracle for Auburn, UCS perfect 2017 season, or Alabama's title redemption against Clemson. You get to replay those moments. But you got to keep in mind, I'm pretty sure they didn't go back and license all those players. So I think you're probably going to play with your team against that school to recreate that moment. I'm sure it's more of a scenario based than it is actually creating with the players. I could be wrong, but I have a feeling that it's not quite exactly as it sounds in terms of matching the moment.
I'm going to think it's going to be you're playing that team and it's going to be just random ultimate team people that's going to match the overall level of difficulty of where you're at. I think they're going to scale it to like they're just going to throw people in with that makes it like an 80 overall team. But the helmet and the uniform is going to be of the school you're playing of that moment. But I think the players are just going to be comprised of a mix that gets it to whatever difficulty level they're at.
And they might just my guess. They might have a few pros who were on those teams.
Yeah.
So there might be a handful of real players, but I get what you're saying. The rest will be.
They'll fill it out with just random players. Randos. Yep. Just random cards. Yeah.
And the game will have Ultimate Team have Legends, of course. I do like the look of this card. Like I saw people online saying, like, it's cool that they make it look like a trading card. This whole thing is a trading card mode. And I've never really felt like these companies lean into that as much as they should. Like, they should have. The cards should all look like trading cards. They should have checklists you can go in and look at. Who didn't, as a kid, have those checklists? And when you got a second checklist, that's the one you wrote on to track which cards you had and did not have.
And now the big boom, sports cards are back at a big boom. Now have numbered cards where there's only four of these in the, maybe four of these in the entire game. You know, and you're like, I just pulled this card, one of four. There's only four of these made. Do I want this guy on my team or do I sell this on the play? Do I try to make some money on the marketplace, you know, and maybe, you know, just add to the kind of resurgence of sports cards with things like parallels and numbered cards and autographs and things like that.
And towards the end of that blog, they talk about new ways to play. Some of these I believe are comparable to Madden. Like this is where they kind of lost me in Ultimate Team because the people who are really, really competitive with it, and I'm not because I didn't get that into it, but they have solo seasons. They talk about also solo battles as well as head-to-head seasons, the squad's regular season, and also the gauntlet. That's one it sounds like you really need to play during the week, get enough wins, you can play on their weekend events. That's for like the elite of elite, which I will not sniff anywhere near. I do hope the mode does well, though. I mean, that's one that, like I said, we're definitely not anti-Ultimate Team guys, but I think we're in the boat with a lot of people where we just don't want to shove down our throat. With Madden, it always seemed like there were one or two splash screens when you started the game about the latest promo, and I always felt that was such a turnoff. And I hope college football doesn't go the same route.
Yeah, I mean, 6 to 8 years ago, I was very hardcore on Ultimate Team. I even spent a fair deal of money on it. I got obsessed with it, you know, played a lot of it. But then like the past 5 years or so, I've really weaned off of it. And at the same time, you know, there's times I still go back to it every once in a while. There's plenty of solo stuff. If you are not an online guy, you know, if you don't want to, there's a lot of solo stuff, especially with the seasons and challenges and all sorts of stuff there. There's a lot for you there. But also if you are a competitive online guy, there is a ton for you there too. And the gauntlet's going to be a big one for you to really build up your team fast.
And said, I hope it does well for the sake of EA's got a lot of licensing and production costs going into this title, especially year one, and they've had no product, you know, to recoup any of that money. So I hope it does well to cover the licensing. So maybe we will get bigger and better things down the line.
I'd say if YouTube views are any indication on the College Football Channel, yeah, I think there is a ton of hype for this, even though we haven't seen any advertising or anything yet. I still think that I think the sales are going to really something they're going to be happy with when it's all said and done.
I sure hope so. Again, we got still more news coming on Thursday. It's the Road to Glory reveal. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, we've heard about it, but I want to, you know, see it in action. They talk about it's a 10 to 20 hour story, but I'm not so sure it isn't more of a choose your own adventure. It sounds like you get these scenarios presented to you that can affect different attributes and ratings, boosts and hits. Interesting to see how that works. We're seeing that some of the YouTubers are saying that they will be able to put stuff out on Saturday. And I will mention, I don't know if he was joking or not, so I'm going to say that now. I don't know his sense of humor the best, but Josh Pate had mentioned on social media, and he kind of stuck with the bit a little bit in one of his threads, talking about maybe putting out videos sooner than later. So did some of the cultural media guys get copies? I don't know if I believe that quite yet, but I do want to say that just in case it hits. And I don't know if you saw this, JB. Apparently, LeBron James has a copy. They didn't really show him playing, but suppose he was on the phone with a popular YouTuber saying that he had the game and was playing And they asked who he was playing as a lot, and the answer was Ohio State and Colorado. So it doesn't really help in terms of when, you know, Colorado, we think maybe got boosted for a lot of the casuals and people who just like the appeal of Dion and crew. When you find out one of the biggest athletes in the world that got the game early and is playing as Colorado.
That bandwagon, a lot of people jumped off that thing pretty quickly once they hit the window there.
It's going to be interesting this year if Colorado gets off to it. They play North Dakota State on a Thursday night to start the year. I think Colorado win that one. But
that could be a losable game, though, too.
I'm not saying it's a gimme. And then they play at Nebraska week two. What happens if Colorado falls to 0-2 out of the gate? How quickly do ratings get adjusted? How many tweets go to the EA Sports College account saying, are they still top 20, EA? Are they still in your top 20? What's going
right.
on?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a stretch putting them in there with a 4-win team. And I mean, do we really feel like they've gotten better? Is that line gotten any better?
I said the offense, I kind of understand the overall rating because I think it goes mainly off skill position starters. So I can kind of see why that was high. But the defense was the one where I really struggled to grasp how they were so high defensively. They must expect every transfer to hit. But with that, we're going to wrap up the show. Road to Glory news coming on Thursday. We'll be back to cover that and maybe even a pre-release kickoff show this weekend, getting ready for the release of the game for early access sometime on Monday evening, and then the retail release of the full game on Friday. For JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Tommy's out on assignment. He had to catch the morning train today, working the 9 to 5. He'll hopefully be back soon.
My baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5 and then...